faith, but you're also men and women of the Holy Ghost. Woo! And it's not just in the doors of the church. Right? So, if I'm going to proceed the leadings of the Spirit, I've got to walk and live in the Spirit. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. Just as an example, the Apostle John said, he said, you know, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Right? That was a place. He said, I was in the Spirit. And then he goes on to say, because I was, I saw things and I heard things that I wouldn't have seen or heard otherwise. And he gave us an account of it. The Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. Is that 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians? Let me look here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. Paul made this statement. He said, eye hath not seen, ears hath not heard. Neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. Right? But He has revealed them unto us. How? By His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what knows a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man save the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit which is of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but in that which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, this is the point right here. He says, for the natural man, now, some translation says perceives not. One says receives not. Both are applicable. The natural man, let's just say, perceives or receives not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Right? So listen, if a natural man, that means an unregenerate man, cannot receive or perceive the things of the Spirit, let me ask you a question. Can a carnal man, one who is predominantly living their life focused on the natural things of life, consumed with that realm, can a carnal man perceive the things of the Spirit? Not as readily. So the reality is, if we're going to proceed the leadings of the Spirit, we need to start walking and living in the Spirit, right? Because it's crucial to us in these last days to cooperate with Jesus Christ the head. Notice here in Acts chapter 14, I'll just give you an example, and I'm hurrying. Acts 14, 8 through 10. This is a pretty interesting passage of Scripture. Of course, Paul is preaching here. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, this is Acts 14, 8, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and doing what? Somebody tell me. Anybody looking at the Bible? The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and observing or perceiving, the King James says, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and he walked. Now notice the progression. The Bible says Paul's preaching, and then he steadfastly beholds the man. Now what's happening? There's some divine communication occurring. He stops and he looks at him, and he's what? He perceived something by the Spirit. He perceived the man had faith to be healed. Based upon the perception of the Spirit, then he gave the faith command, and the miracle was forthcoming. I'm convinced the best and most accurate or productive ministry is that which is initiated by the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Holy Spirit. You seem to get better results that way. And you know, as I look at the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll note in John, the Gospel of John chapter 5 verse 19, You can write that down if you want to. Also, verse 30. Jesus made these comments. He said, "Verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself. Whatsoever He doeth, He sees the what? The Father do it first." And He said, "I don't say anything of my own accord either. I hear it, then I say it." So basically what He's telling you and I is, look, I'm living my life and I'm executing my ministry in direct response to the Father's leadership through the person and presence of the Holy Ghost. That's a dynamic way to live. Right? And He had tremendous results and He impacted people's lives in such a powerful way. So we want to follow suit. So if we're going to participate, then we have to certainly perceive the leadings of the Holy Spirit. So once again, you know, this is ordinary people like you and I, born again, doing extraordinary things through the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. I had a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses come to the door one time, and I went out on the stoop to talk to them. You had the trainer and the trainee, right? You always have the two. So the trainee, he was obviously new at what he was doing, and so he's trying to go through his little deal, and he's having a hard time finding his scripture, so I was trying to help him, you know. I'm trying to be courteous. He's out there trying to do something, you know, so I'm helping him find his scriptures. And the trainer was trying to, too. But I notice as he's talking to me on the front stoop, he's holding his he starts grimacing in pain, and he'd go up there and touch his face. Finally, I said, "What's the matter with you?" And he said, "I'm so sorry." He said, "I'm in so much pain." He said, "I don't know. I must have an abscess tooth or something. I don't know. Well, when he said that, I got a cue. See, what I call a divine cue. That impression. Not a vision, not a voice, not a dream. An impression. See, most often the leadings of the Spirit are not sentences. They're a sense. A sense, you know? And you follow that. And I had a sense. Boom. I said, "Hey, can I make you a deal?" Now, see, I'm responding to the leading of the Spirit, so I'm quite confident about what's going to happen here. I said, "Hey, can I make you a deal?" He said, "Well, I guess so." I said, "Now, I've listened kindly, cordially to what you're saying, but I'm a Christian, born-again Christian. And I said, I'm also baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Him. I said, may I share with you both what I believe to be the truth of the way to salvation very quickly? And if what I tell you is accurate and valid, that same Jesus will heal you instantly. Now, see, I'm not out on a limb because I'm following the unction." He said, "Deal." Now, the trainer wasn't so excited, but the trainee was because he was hurting. He said, "Deal." I said, "All right." So I gave him what you call the four spiritual laws, you know, just in the Roman road, real concise. And then I said, "Now," and I shared with him. So I said, "Now let me pray with you." So I just put my hand right on the side of his face, right on the front porch. And you know, I didn't go, "Woo!" I'll save that for the church and run around here. I didn't want to scare the daylights out of him. No sense in getting spooky, right? So I just put my... my hand on the side. I'm sorry, my hands are cold. My heart's warm. But I said, "In the name of Jesus, the name above every name," I want to get it all in. So I said, "The name whereby men must be saved, the way, the truth, the life." I just said all that. "In the name of Jesus, I command that pain to leave you instantly and healing to come into your body." And very simple prayer, in Jesus' name, I took my hand. He just scared the bull out of me. That's a good one, man. That's a book of Acts right there. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. But God is my witness. When I took my hands off of him, his eyes got big as saucers. And he said, "It's gone. It's gone." And I said, "Well, glory to God. Amen." And guess what happened? The trainer grabbed him and ran off. He said, "We gotta go, we gotta go." And I said, "Wait a minute, we gotta close the deal. I'm following down the driveway." Let me tell you something. Did you know God will heal people before they're born again? Of course He will. For you and I, it's the children's bread, but it's a form of advertisement for the unbeliever. I took a drunk man one night by the hand. I mean, he was drunk as a skunk. And I said, "Sir, don't you know God loves you?" He's ready. I'm going to take it even. He said, "No." I said, "Don't you know God loves you?" He said, "Yeah, I know it." And I said, "Have you ever heard about Jesus?" "Yeah, I know." Because when he was little, obviously. I said, "God doesn't want you to live like this." I said, "He wants you to be free and enjoy your life and not waste your resources and so forth." And I said, now listen, I want to pray with you. And so, now I'm telling you the eternal, God's my witness. I wouldn't lie to you. I said, take me by the hand. So I did. No. So I took him by the hand like this. And when I did, the anointing of the Holy Spirit went into that man and instantly, I'm telling you the truth, instantly evaporated.
Thank you, Jesus! All right.
Evaporated all of the alcohol out of his blood. And he cussed. He used the D word. He said, "D, I'm sober." I said, "I know you are, because God wants you to pay attention to what I'm telling you right now." And then we prayed that prayer of salvation with him. But I'm telling you, God will minister to people through what? Through the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher? No, through the believer. That's you and me. The body of Christ. If what? If we'll just pick up on these cues. Can you got one more time for one more story? My sister. And I think I may have told this before, but anyway, my sister, you know, she's not what you'd call a phenomenal Christian in the sense that she's not a Bible school graduate. She doesn't have an arsenal of Bible verses at her disposal. But, as we've talked about before, she just lives in the presence and company of God. If she's vacuuming, she's going to be praying in the Spirit. If she's washing dishes, she's going to be singing praises. What is she doing? Just keeping company with God. And as a result, you maintain a sensitivity. And she has the most amazing story. She told me, she said she was going by the antique store. Actually, she was going to make a deposit at the bank through the drive-thru. She didn't put on any makeup. She had no intentions of going anywhere, Southern girls in their makeup, you know. So anyway, she said, "I'm driving down and I pass this antique store that I pass all the time on the left-hand side." And she said, as I passed it, Marty, she said, "I had a sense I should go turn into that antique store." She said, "But I didn't have any makeup on, so I just kept driving." And she said, "The farther I went," she said, "I got grieved in my spirit. I had that knowing." Once again, not a voice, just a sense. So she said, "I know the Holy Ghost." So she said, "I just turned around, went into the parking lot, went inside this antique store." And she said, "I had no idea why I was there, so I just started looking at antiques." So she said, "I'm there looking at antiques, and all of a sudden I see this man and woman over in the corner talking to one another." And she said, "When I saw that woman, as Paul said, steadfastly beholding and perceiving," she said, "when I saw that woman, I knew that's my divine target." Well, my sister's bold as a lion. When you're full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, there's a boldness that comes with that. Not rudeness, not goofiness, boldness. So Jesus went over there and said, "Excuse me for interrupting your conversation," because they were talking. And she looked at that woman and she said, "Ma'am, excuse me, but I'm here on assignment from Almighty God." And she said, "I didn't even know what the assignment was." But you see, you take those baby steps. So she said, when she spoke those words, that woman started weeping right there in the store, in the antique store. And she started telling her story. And so she told my sister, she said, "You know, I was born again when I was young. I've been backslidden for years. I don't have a church. I don't have a pastor." And she said, "The most compelling problem at the moment is that I have been diagnosed with cancer. 7 places in my body, they have not given me much hope." And she said, "I've been crying out to God to please heal me and to save me." And she said, "To think He would come in here and visit me in an antique store. And you know He will, if the sons and daughters will take our divine cues and follow the leading, right?" So my sister said, "Well, honey, that's why He sent me. See, not an apostle, a handmaiden, born of the Spirit, following the leading of the Spirit." So she said, "That's why He sent me." So she just loved on her for a few moments, shared a few scriptures, prayed for her fellowship to be restored. She said, "Now let me pray for your healing." And my sister said she laid hands on her. And you know, this is not always the case, friends. But sometimes there are spirits of infirmity that enforce disease. Not always, but sometimes. You'll know when deaf and dumb spirits came to Jesus, and the person maybe was blind or deaf or dumb, he would deal with the spirit many times, not just a physical infirmity. So at times, so she laid her hands and she said, calls me Bubba. She said, Bubba, these words came out of my mouth. In the name of Jesus, I command the spirit of fear and death to come out of you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So when she prayed that prayer, and for healing to flow. Well, that's what we did in the name of Jesus. As a believer, you lay hands upon the sick. These signs will follow. So she did. And when she did, she just gave her a big old hug. No, lightning bolts, right? And gave her a hug, and so she talked a few more moments, and my sister's leaving, going to finish her deposit. And the lady said, hey, can I take your picture with my cell phone? Thank God for the modern technology, and get your number. She said, well, sure. So she took it. Well, you know the story. I don't know how many weeks, month, or a little extended period afterwards, my sister got a call from that woman. And she said, do you remember me? I was in the antique store. My sister said, of course. Not every day you're laying hands on somebody in the antique store. She said, yes, I remember. She said, I want to tell you something. She said, I got to feeling so much better. You know, they told me there was nothing they'd do. I went back asking to run tests. They said, there's no need. She said, please, I want you to run tests. So they ran tests, and she said, when they came back, it was all negative. There's no cancer anywhere in my body. Isn't God good? He's merciful, isn't he? So the point is, we just got to follow the lead. And I want, what I want you to leave here tonight with is that God wants to use you. He wants to use me. And it doesn't have to be within the doors of this church, right? So just in wrapping this thing up, one thing I didn't tell you, the very first part of that vision, 1950, Rockwall, Texas, at the tent, come up hither. He said when he went up there, the very first thing as he was standing before Jesus, Jesus was holding this crown, and he said, it was beyond words, the jewels in that crown. He said, I can't even put words to it. And he said, I asked him, what is that crown? And Jesus said, this is the soul winner's crown. He said, but I say to my people, go here, speak to this one, minister to that one. He said, but they're so busy and preoccupied that they miss they're what we would call divine cues. And he said, as a result, souls are lost. People go unministered to, right? So we want to up that. Let's position ourselves. So if I'm going to walk and live in the Spirit, right? Guess what? I got to be filled. Stay filled with the Spirit. Amen. Hey, everybody say, stay filled with the Spirit. Right. So I want to submit to you tonight. One way that you and I can stay filled with the Spirit is incorporating into our lives on a daily and consistent basis spiritual habits and exercises that would nurture a Spirit-filled life. And one of those, not exclusively, but one very important one would be to pray more earnestly, friends, in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit elevates your spiritual consciousness and sensitivity to the things in that realm. And when we say praying in the Spirit, what does that mean? Well, we let the Bible interpret the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, you know it. He who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit, notice this phrase, in the Spirit. He speaks mysteries. So Paul equates praying in the supernatural language that accompanies the baptism of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2, right? With praying in the Spirit. Now, is it beneficial? Well, here's some more scripture. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 14 and 15. 14 and 15, notice Paul said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, what's happening? My spirit prays. But my understanding is unfruitful. He said, so what is it then? What's the conclusion? I will pray with the Spirit. I'll pray with the understanding. I'll sing with the Spirit. I'll sing with the understanding. Paul said, I'm going to engage myself in both realms, the natural and the supernatural, the spiritual and the natural, right? So we pray in both dimensions, and that's effective. Now, once again, Is it a good thing to do? Obviously it is, because think about this. The Apostle Paul, friends, wrote, if you count the book of Hebrews, and Jesus told Brother Hay and he wrote it. I know people say they don't know who, but he said he did. You can take or leave it. But half the New Testament by revelation. Well, now think about it. That man that wrote half the New Testament and said it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost. Guess what he said? 1 Corinthians 14, 18 and 19. I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. But then notice what he said. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach many than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. So what did he just say? He said, hey, I pray in tongues more than all of you, but it's not inside the doors of the church. Amen. Then where was it? In his personal, private, devotional life. Right? And obviously, it was tremendously beneficial. So, we want to do that. One of the ways we can stay filled with the Spirit is by praying earnestly and consistently in the Spirit. Howard Carter, and how many give me 5 more minutes again? 5? Nobody's raising their hand tonight. You already know it now. See, I 5, 10, 15. But anyway, I'm closing. I'm trying to close. Y'all are so awesome. Because I want to be respectful of your time. But Howard Carter, who was the founder of the First Pentecostal Bible College in Great Britain, he said, speaking in tongues is not just to be the initial evidence of being baptized with the Spirit, but it is to be a continual source of infilling throughout one's life. How many of you heard of Smith Wigglesworth? 27 people raised from the dead, documented. He said, to be filled with the Spirit is a luxury, but it's also a divine command. Not to be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit. He said, no Pentecostal person ought to get out of bed in the morning without first be getting lost in the Spirit, speaking to themselves in other tongues. And this is what he said. He said, I maintain the opinion that if one would be continually filled with the Spirit, he will speak in the Spirit, morning, noon, and night. So it's an important thing, right? And one more, John G. Lake. Anybody know who that is? Powerful apostle to the continent of Africa. He said, hey, I want to speak to you with the utmost frankness concerning this particular language of tongues. He said, which I speak mostly in the nighttime. I found it to be not only the source of power that I operate in on a daily basis, but also an invaluable source of revelation knowledge that I preach to people every day. He said, it's a source of power, it's a source of revelation. Is it? Well, if those assertions are true, it should be scriptural. Is it scriptural? Absolutely. 1 Corinthians 14:4. Here it is. He who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. The Beck translation says, strengthens his own faith. The Knox translation says, encourages himself. This is my favorite, the Webster. He who speaks in an unknown tongue receives an uplifting and strengthening influence. Amen. Who's that? The Holy Ghost. So, let's build ourselves up, beloved, on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Everybody stand up tonight. You've got an assignment in this community. And what I say, it's not to be weird, not to be goofy, it's to be powerful. And God, you know, you got a building going on. We're going to get it built. And then God's going to use you to fill it up. Right? So here's what I want to do tonight before we leave. I just want us to take a moment to drink deeply of the Spirit. One way you can be filled with the Spirit is to drink deeply of the Spirit. One way you can drink of the Spirit is to pray in the Spirit. Now, if you're here tonight and you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit and you would like to be, I'll be happy to lay hands upon you. I'm not going to push you down, shake you, run you around. I'm going to gently lay hands upon you and you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit and you'll speak in other tongues, right? So if you'd like to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, you never have been, no pressure. If you're not ready, I've got a CD back there called Empowered for Living. I mean, by the time you listen to that thing, you'll be good and ready. But if you're ready tonight, I'd be happy to pray with you. You can lift your hands right here. Anybody want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit tonight? Wonderful.
I don't know if I have.
Okay, well, and also, if you would like to feel comfortable, do you pray in other tongues?
Yeah.
All right, if you'd like to feel more comfortable along those lines, we'll lay hands on you as well. Anybody, anywhere. Okay, honey, come up. All right, it's Cody. Come on, man. Come on up. You guys stand right here side by side. Hey, that's awesome. That's awesome. And just face me. Just face me. Face me. Yeah, that way. And so here's what I want you to know. And then, guys, don't leave yet. We're not going to take long. But I'm going to have you stretch your hands out in a minute. Now, I don't want anybody else laying hands on them. Because I don't want the anointing to go into you. I want it to go into them. So here's the instruction. You're born again?
Yes.
All right, you're born again. You know Jesus. You've asked Jesus into your heart. You're sure about that? Pretty sure. Amen. We'll make sure. So once you're a Christian, you've already got the Holy Spirit in you. He already is resident. So the baptism is like an immersion. It's when the cup gets full and runs over. He's in the well, but the well's going to spring up. Okay? So when we ask Jesus to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, what's going to happen is you'll sense right here in your belly, these words will just begin to come up out of your spirit into your mouth. It doesn't come into your head. It bypasses the mind and goes right from the spirit to the mouth. So the supernatural part of the experience is not who is speaking, but what is being spoken. And I say that because some people think, oh, he's going to overtake me and then he's going to start making my mouth move. No, you speak because the words will come up out of your belly. You speak the words. The supernatural part is not who is speaking, but the words, what is being spoken. So I'll lay hands upon you. You'll take a deep breath and then you'll begin to speak in this supernatural language. Okay. Is Diana gone? Did she have to go? All right. So here, everybody, start that track in the back. Now, In the congregation, I want you to stretch your hands out. And go ahead, Kitty, and start that as soon as you can. And I want you in the congregation, I don't want you hollering in tongues, but I want you to just speak in the Spirit. And let's begin to drink and create an atmosphere. Go ahead, if you're filled with the Spirit. Now, I want you guys to pray after me. Just close your eyes. And from your heart, I want you to say these words, Jesus, I confess you as my Lord and Savior. And right now, say that, right now, I ask you to baptize me with the Holy Spirit. And I will speak in other tongues as you give me the words. Now I want you to take a deep breath and be filled. Laruti Christoro Sarimoro Lardiverege Rishlesto Ricasa. Now whatever sound or syllable may arise, you just begin to speak that sound or syllable, and then your tongue will get hooked up. Laro de Moro de Boca Rezori Erejo Rando Borusa Faracerio Eleso Raizo Rige. Era di Baruso Balange la cara in amoro, le sore di botta laci arrascia la condilie, Jesus cassura di batta la cara, that's it. Era di vassura di balando la tocarero, Jesus borosci carresce, you just step out in faith. Lera du, l'amore di bosso coro di massa calataccia, ara di borosa verrera di vesti. Cody, that's it. Now you just be bold. Lara de Voroge Verange la Cordo Bosso Carriste Creticare. That's it, buddy. Lara de Voronge Voroscia, Lara de Vastella de Mito la Corina. Comes right out of here. Leso Rosce Carria Rose. I sense that right out of your belly. Ele Voroge Verrece. Pastor, you lay hands now. Keep praying there. Now. Le Soro de Borresce Carrasce Carrese Risce. Jan. I want you to lay your hands on her belly, gently. Now, what's your name?
Leah.
Now, Leah, I'm just going to lay my hands on you. And once again, right out of your belly, and just be at peace, relax. You'll speak it, and then the words will begin to flow. La ruta sara de deporio rondo bocara de macacelero. You may sense sometimes your throat gets a little dry, but you'll sense it right out of here. Lado de borroso bocara de masara de bocorinde. Gregio rosa borran sora de baleccie. Oro de bogrondo, coro de bocara de bacala, vada de barunda bacoro di atorecoto. Take another deep breath. Lado de borronge carena, ro de boro de bogondo, bolo shara de bele geringi cristeco. Lado de boro de bo, you just wait right here in the presence of the Lord. Jan, you keep praying with her just a moment. Now you'll speak. He'll give the words. Now, out in the congregation, I want us to just lift our voice for a moment. La sora de borres de varenjo. Let's just drink of the Spirit for a minute. Ala vorenje ke. Turn up the music just a little bit. Mesto caro de varenje caranjo de varenjole. Lesto caro de borros de borreiro de visara de bachele casale. Thank you, Lord, that flow, that free flow. Le sora di maire di vira varendo, boro di bacara di verreggere di voro, di boro di boccanza le deci. Yeshe cara di bororo di bucos, that's it. La se cara di borrembl boro di boccasa le dele di litichita le le cassala. Yasa voroshe carrietele, that's it, buddy. Le sora di maire di viliero, di boro di boccasa le di borrengere di battele. Now you just be a little bold with it. Le succhere di vara di via lara di vossora di bucoronda bucareggere di varregl gronda lavaccie. Yese casule da valangie sto corre. Lord, thank you for filling every vessel in this place. That's it. Yese cara di borrembl presce carie. You speak, he'll give the utterance. Le succhere di vosceche. And the more we drink, the more saturated we become. Lessoro di varresci, that's it, Leah. Lessoro di borrende varrascia cara di massaiare. It bypasses your mind. Lessorigere di vasele arraggio ribel brondo rosa borrese varraggia da bocchite. You just keep speaking with her, Jan. Lessocara di borre se fregie. Oh, let's drink for a moment. Every vessel saturated. Lessorembo barose vrecer di azaria. The more we speak, the more saturated we become. Lesso coro di borrego gorenge le de barose vrege le chistelec. Yeso caro di verregere di borose vrege arisco. Yeso caro di moro di boccase recice. And the more you pray in the Spirit, the more freedom you have in the Spirit to speak. Lesso caro de borombo, boro de becchere di varasce, ore de barringere di varraise borose varrecce. El de borrense varragere di vassel, do lode bulinda la gele delle castachette. Let's just pray a little bit more together. Oh, resto, and be a little bold with it. Yesu caro de maire di vida bolero, de borro segremo morogia, yege casale de labor de begarese, ora da bari di vistele cosele, Yesu carasce carungi. Lord, thank you for every person in this room. Thank you that you're going to use every vessel. Oh, thank you for filling every vessel. Lesu rasha radorike. Yeah, that's beautiful, man. You were praying in the Spirit, though. I want you to know that. You got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You were baptized in the Spirit. Absolutely. Because you ask, you receive. Oh, resobaregi grasta la cara di bucoreste caricice. Oh, hallelujah. La cora di masara di verregi carestuco. Lord, we love you. Now, you know, I told you the Lord speaks to me in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs many times, and I just want us to share this with you. Because I hear the Father calling to hearts that will hear, to arise in this hour, and to move boldly without fear. Because the time is short, and the work is great. So don't pull back. Don't hesitate. Because the world stands in need of the glory of God. Even now, I am anointing those who will receive and I'm sending forth to do great exploits those who will believe. And your eyes will behold what has been spoken, what has been foretold, as you stretch forth your hands in faith. Say not, I'm not worthy, I cannot go, I cannot do, because my blood has made you worthy. And remember, saith the Lord, it is I, not you. So arise and take this glorious gospel that is within your spirit and preach and prophesy and demonstrate and let the world hear and let them see it. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the divine assignment that is upon this church. Thank you for the people that are here. And I thank you for confirming your word in the days, weeks, months, and years ahead that we're going to impact this community in a powerful way. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen,
amen, amen.